better now.
Does the rabbi teach Talmud Monday to Friday every morning at 8 a.m.?
Come, Paul.
Monday
please.
To Thursday.
But he's not here.
Okay. You'll come.
It's the same.
It's the same as what we learned.
Yeah. Okay, let's continue. We're on the Rambam, Hilchos Yontif, Perek Hey, Halacha Yud Aleph, Chapter 5, Law 11, page 246 and page 247. We've been discussing the idea that when a person has a certain amount of distance that he can walk on Shabbos and Yontif, so not only is he restricted to that going that distance, but the things that he owns are restricted, his possessions are restricted in that distance as well. And then things that aren't exactly the same don't have the same restrictions.
So if you're borrowing somebody something from somebody else, they're confined to that person's
area. We will see. Exactly. These are the discussions that are coming up tonight. So we're going to continue this theme till the end of the parak. All right? This idea. Yudal. Hamoiser behemto livno. Person gives over his animal to his son. Unless he gave him to the son on Erev Yontif. He says, son, here's the animal. You're in charge.
The Yontif hasn't started yet.
So now, the cow, under whose tchum is it restricted to? The father's or the son's?
Well, it looks like
the son doesn't necessarily live in the house of the father, mind you. Could be, you know.
It's the son of majority age.
Yes. Harehi karaglehov. It's like the legs of the father. It has a law of being the father. Why? Because it's the way of people to give things that they own to have their children watch it, and it's not their intention that it should be considered in the children's domain. In other words, it's still mine, but I want the kid to watch it. So it still goes with the father's domain and not the kid's domain. Now, on the other hand, Misar Laroa, but if he gives it over to a professional shepherd, Valfin the son of the Yontif, even though he gives it on Yontif already, it means it was not the shepherd's as Yontif started. Still, Arei Karagli Roa. It's like the feet of the Roa, and it goes after the Tchum of the Roa. Why? Because if he already gave it to a Roa on Yontif, he probably had in mind an heir of Yontif to give it over to the Roa. So it's considered as if it was in the Roa's possession before Yontif, and now it goes with the Roa. When I'm giving it, and I want the Roa to be responsible and all that that goes with that. Now, what about Meser L'Shnei Roa? And what if he gave it to two shepherds to watch? Okay, even on Erev Yontif, Harehi Karagli Bala, it goes back to being only considered as the feet of the owner. Why? Because neither one of them acquires it even for watching. Why? Because many times each one has a different Erev to a different spot. And that would mean that the animal would have a limited area where it could go, not even the middle 2,000 amas. And therefore, he doesn't want it to go after two shepherds. In other words, one shepherd, the animal can go at least 2,000 amas in that direction. We will see later on, we have two different shepherds. They can be living in two different places. And now that animal can only go in the mutual 2,000 amas, which is going to be much more limited.
The intersection.
As we'll get an example of that later on in the 19th halacha. They're going to give you a good example of that. So when the guy gives it over to two shepherds, he doesn't want both shepherds to be the real watchers of it, because then that'd be a limited amount of space, so then he doesn't really want them to have that kind of responsibility. Okay, Yud Beis. Misha Zimen Esel Orchem Yontif. Somebody invited guests to his house on Yontif. Or even if he invited them on Air of Yontif. And now there's food left over, and they tell to the guest, why don't you take the food home with you? It's Yontif, you can carry it home with you.
So they brought some cake and it was on a low-carb diet.
Extra chicken, whatever. I don't know what to do with it. So please take it home. So now, lo yolichu biyara manos lumakam shem bala sudi yachalifbo. They can't take those portions in a direction in which the owner himself could not take it. In other words, even though he's given it now to the guests, and it's theirs, but it's limited to the owner's direction that he can go in.
On Yom Tov with food.
Shekol ha-se'uda, because the whole meal, keragle ba-la-suda, they're like the feet of the owner of the meal, lo keragle orchim, and not like the feet of the guests. Because it was his the whole time, before Yom Tov started, was his, and you know, at the time that Yontif began, he wasn't sure there was going to be leftovers. Can't say an Erev Yontif. He planned on giving it to them and wanted them to acquire ownership before Yontif. You can't say any of that. And once Yontif began and it was his, then it's limited to his range of motion, of distance, and not theirs. Ela im kain, unless zikolhem acher b'monos elum ershab yomtiv, unless somebody else merited to acquire it for them as portions on erev yomtiv. In other words, let's say the owner before yomtiv gives it, and the guests he can't give it to because they're not in his house yet. But he says, listen, you, Joe, I want you to be the messenger for these people. And you know we have a rule, Zokin Lodim Shlobafan, or people can acquire for somebody else for their benefit even without their knowledge. And therefore he says, you go and take this cherry cake. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of leftover cherry cake. So you pick up the cherry cake for these guests that are going to come tomorrow. And it's Erev Yontif now. And now they own the chicken, the cake right now. So that way you could do it. Now it's interesting, I guess, and he couldn't do it himself because how could he make a kinyan with himself? There'll be a little problem. So you have to have somebody else.
He can't eat the part that was given. Like, if they say half the pie will go to these guests when they leave, then you can't eat that half a pie.
Well, no, he could say it's there. It's theirs now.
Oh, but they can share it with.
They could share it as well, right? So that, but a regular case of good old fashioned leftovers, they're stuck to that tchum. That he's stuck to.
So if there's an Erev in the town, like on Yontif, here's the point.
We're talking where there's no Erev.
Okay.
There's no Erev, you can carry, but you're still limited by Tchum. Tchum in the front. Yontif is the Rabbanim.
Right.
So you're still limited to the Tchum. That's the issue here.
Okay.
Otherwise you couldn't carry at all.
Right.
Right? So we're talking where you can carry. Carrying's not the issue, but the problem's the Tchum. So how limited are you in terms of where you can carry it?
Hmm.
So that's the issue. Alright, Yud Gimel. V'chein mishoye perosav mufkodim bi'ir acheres. Let's say somebody is having his fruits being watched in another city outside of the tchum. Reuven owns fruits, but they're being stored in another place that's outside his tchum. So it's his fruits, but outside of his tchum. V'er v'bnei osa ir lavo esel, and the people who are watching his fruits made an erev tchumim that enabled them to go further all the way back to the original owner's home. In other words, let's say from the original owner's home to the storage place is, let's say, the storage place is 3,000 amas away from where the owner could go. So he can go 2,000 amas. So he can't reach his storage place. The storage place is being watched from. But let's say people in the storage place, they went 2,000 amas before Yontif, made an Eruv Tumim, so they can go another 2,000. They could go all the way into the city. So now they're watching, well, his fruits are in that place. These people could go into the city, to the original owner's place. The original owner could not go to the fruits. That's the scenario. So, lo yavilon b'yavirosav, they cannot bring him the fruits. Why should peirosav come off? Because his fruits have a status of him. Because he didn't make the Erev. Even though it's in the hands of those who made the Erev, still, they can't bring it. Now we have a qualification. When do we say this? When they allocate it to him in their storage place, in other words, they lent to him or rented to him part of a corner of the storage place and says, here it is. Now what that means effectively is we didn't say we're going to watch it. We're just saying we're leaving you a spot you can put it, but I'm not taking responsibility.
So
in other words, if they don't take responsibility as a shomer for it. So in other words, it's his stuff sitting in somebody else's place that person is not taking responsibility to watch it. He said, here's, I'll let you have a corner. I'm not watching it.
At your own risk. At your own risk.
That's right. So therefore, he is the full owner. They have nothing to do with it. And therefore, they can't schlep it, even though they could carry it, but it's confined to the owner's ability to bring it, and the owner can't bring it.
So they're not even a shomer.
Nothing. A shomer, nothing.
Yeah, but if they...
Wait. But if he didn't designate for them, then that means they're going to be watching it as a shomer. Now they're like the feet of the people that was given over to them, because once you accept responsibility to watch it, Now you become like at during the time sort of watching in effect in the place of the owner, and then they could carry it because now they are the people in charge of the fruit and not the owner in charge of the fruit.
What if they use that particular fruit to make the earth?
First, I don't know. First of all, you have to know if they have permission to do that.
Yeah, you need the reshus to do that.
Could be. What if the guy didn't give him permission? Could be Geneva.
Yeah, he could only give them reshus to watch it.
You know, then it's going to be a question of shlichus yad and all kinds of other things. Mitzvah bo b'avera.
We learned all that. That's way back.
So, I don't know.
Back to that first case, where they're not allowed to bring it to the owner, could they bring it into within the area where the owner can get it? They can bring it into the city, but not right to the owner.
That's what I asked, basically. Yeah. But they're not allowed to move it without his permit.
They can't move it at all? I thought they could move it.
But it's already a greater distance.
They're storing it for them. They're not allowed to take it.
No, no, but if they can go into the city, and the owner can go within the city, they can't bring it to him, but can they bring it to an area where the owner can go and get it?
It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Because, yeah, I mean,
they're moving it without permission.
Well, let's say he gave him permission.
Yeah,
he gave him permission. So, he's not going, but those fruits are still going further than he could go. I don't know. It's a good question. It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Okay, your doubt. Bor shel yachid. Now we're talking about the wells. So a private individual owns a well. Now, that water can only travel 2,000 amas in every direction from that well.
What can travel? I'm sorry?
The water of the well.
Oh, if you take the water.
Somebody wants to draw the water, how far can that water go? So, karagli balak, it's like the feet of the owner of the well, and if somebody else, let's say, is given permission to draw water from it, they can only take it as far as the original owner could take it. That's if it's a private well.
That's
yeah. Well, it's yont if you can carry it, but again, it's a question of tchum, how far can you carry it? They shall osa ha'ir, but if that city, it's the city's well, then already that's a different halacha. That's karagli anshe osa ha'ir. It's like the feet of the people who live in that city, and everybody can go whatever distance they can for whatever their 2,000 amas is. To the exclusion of a stranger who walks into town, then he doesn't have that ability to do that.
Because we're saying mutually owned by each resident of the city.
Well, it's a community-owned well.
Right.
So everyone owns the well, and everybody can go whatever his 2,000 amas are.
His 2,000 are the ears sort of air roof?
Well, it could be the cities, and sometimes the own guy could make it. Let's say the guy himself extends his air roof.
Yeah, well, if he lives in city limits.
What if you feel make air of tchumims?
That's true, but I'm just saying, so at least he's allowed to go to, let's say it's a big town.
Who's he?
The guy who's coming, who lives in the town and he takes a public well. He can take this water over to Shlemi's, who's like maybe 3,000 almost, you know, it's a big town. He could move it a far way.
I don't know, maybe he only can go as far as he can go.
Well, it's, if we look at
I think everybody. Sheir vo.
So that's his.
Or he makes the air.
Okay, so it's the individual. Okay.
Not everyone in the city will have a different.
That's true.
Ability to go depending on what they've done.
Yeah.
Okay, now another type of example, the shel ole bavo. But what about wells that there was communal permission for people who made aliyah to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, let's say during the Shol Shragolim, and there were specially designated wells for the travelers, a traveler's well. Shehem Esurim Lakol, they're given over to everybody. It says, Karaglam Amalbahem. Then it goes after the feet of the person who fills it up, because it was designated in advance for anybody who walks by this well. Shekomi Shemilimahem, anyone who fills up water from that, Molicham lamakam shimahalach. He can take it the place that he's going. Okay, the next scenario, not a well, but now naharas hamoishchim. Let's say rivers that are moving. Umayonas hanovim, or springs that are springing. Okay, so now these things are not in one set place. It's not like a well that's in one specific place. It's a whole distance over here. So now, it's karagle ko'odom. It's like the feet of all people. Because it doesn't have any one specific spot. It's not specifically, you know, only here. Because it really is part of a larger river.
To go with the flow.
Yeah. Let's say the water came originally from outside the tchum, but now is now flowing into the tchum,
right,
but via the fact that it's in the river banks. You can fill it up on Shabbos, because it has no halach of space that it can move. All the more so on Yontif, which is only tchum, is only to Rabbanan, certainly that's okay. So in other words, you could say, how can I take water? Because a half an hour ago it was 2 miles away.
No.
So I've taken something from far away.
Since
there's no set place, it's not limited. It's only limited by the people themselves. And that's all. Tesbah. Shor shel roya. Now, talking about ox of a shepherd. Now, this kind of shepherd's a different kind of shepherd than the one you're thinking about. It's a guy who raises animals, and he slaughters them, and sometimes he'll sell it to other people, his neighbors, people he knows. But it's not such a popular thing. It's not something, he doesn't have such great oxen that people from out of town are buying blue ribbon stock from him. So it's kind of understood that whatever he may want to sell on Yontif is only being sold for people who live within his neighborhood, in his city, but not for out of towners. So therefore, if he should sell it to anybody who needs it for Yontif, so it's karagle anshe osayir. It's only like the feet of the people of that city, and it can't be taken any further.
So even if somebody from out of town...
Baz out of town, he's stuck in that city. Okay. On the other hand, vishor shel patom, but the ox of a ox fattener, guy who makes blue ribbons, and everybody around the world knows about him, then it's karagle mei shalokhu l'shochta b'yom tov. And it goes after the feet of the guy who buys on Yom Tov, no matter where he is. And why is that so? Because the owner's intention is to sell to others who are chutz me'anshel seir, who are outside of that city. Why v'neshu mefutam? Because he fattens them up. V'kol shemim. Show everybody hears about it. Uboim with those, they come to buy it. So he knows in advance people out of town are going to buy it. He has that in mind, that an animal can go to all kinds of distance. Let's say similarly, if a person shechts his own animal on Yom Tov and sells the meat to somebody else, everyone can take, the buyers can take the portion of the place that he was going. Why? Because that was the understanding of the owner on Erev Yom Tov, that there's going to be many different limbs going to different parts around. So people from different cities are going to buy this. So this ox is no different than the well for the people who are going from Bavel, who are traveling to fill up, because that well was designated for anybody who's going to take water wherever they have to go. So this guy who's shechting the animal, he's no different. He knows there's all kinds of different people coming, and this one's going to buy a leg, and this one's going to buy an arm, and this and then all these other things. So therefore he has them all in mind when he shechts it, and therefore he can go in any of those directions. Tezayin. Hagacheles akul kiragle b'olel is like the feet of its owner, because a coal, since it's something, it's like a utensil. You might have thought it's fire and it's like nothing, right? No, but a coal is an actual item, so it goes as an item that belongs to this person. It can go wherever that person can go. But below kiragle shoyala, but not like the feet of... What's that? The one who borrows it?
Yeah, not like the borrower.
Not like the borrower. So I'm not sure what he's adding with not with the borrower. Wouldn't that be an obvious? I mean, they already had this people borrowing it. What does he mean to say that the guy he didn't know in advance that he was going to borrow it, lend it to him? So then, of course not. So I'm not sure what the Rambam. The first part is a chiddush to say that it's considered an item. But let's say the guy who borrows it, let's say it's still, obviously not because it belongs to the owner. Could be it's left to the exclusion of the next case. But a flame, let's say you just have a flame. There's nothing to the flame, so there's no saying that's a utensil that the owner owns and has to be stuck to the air of the owner. That's karagle mishi ha'piyado. That goes by the feet of the water, whoever has the flame. Whereas the flame can go wherever he goes. What's the point? Lefikach, therefore, hamadlik nera eis mechaver. Let's say you light a candle or a chip of wood or a piece of wood from your friend, so there was a flame by him, and now the flame has gone to you. You could take that flame away. We don't say, well, the original flame belonged to the owner,
right,
and that flame is now stuck to anybody else. Because no, that flame isn't anything of essence, and therefore it's not a utensil, it's just flame, and any flame just goes with where the owner is. And it's
so
just,
if you're borrowing a coal, the coal stays with the
right,
original
owner. Right, the coal stays the original owner. That's why he's saying the borrower can't take it up.
Yeah.
But now with a flame, then it's just
no
nothing. There's
it.
No essence, so it's not contained in any one area. Yud Zayin. Hashoel kli mechaver meyantov. Someone borrows the utensil from his friend in Erev Yantov. Af mishalom asana el beyantov. Even though he didn't give it to him until Yantov. Guy says, will you lend it to me? Yes. I'm going to pick it up on Yantov. So Rehu karagle hashoel. Then we say it's like the feet of the borrower. Since he promised him on Erev Yantov to give it to him, it's like it's in his reshus already, and now it goes after the borrower. But on the other hand, she'elo mipnei mimeno biyantov. What if he borrows it from a yantov? Nothing was mentioned before yantov. Afal bishadarko talmid lishol mimenu kliza. Even though he normally does borrow utensil quite often, many other yantovs he borrowed, but there was nothing said in advance for this yantov. B'chol yantov, he borrows every other yantov. Areyu karagli amashel. It's like the feet of the one who lent it, and it can't go any further since he didn't ask him in erev yantov. It doesn't go and transfer domain to the borrower. Because he maybe figured, maybe he got something else somewhere else this time. He borrowed the last six yontas from you, this item. Well, he didn't ask me this time. He always asked me Erev Yontas. This time he didn't ask me. I guess he found somebody closer and more convenient. And therefore, I didn't have a mind to
the
give it to him.
The arrangement didn't exist specifically before Yontas.
That's right. Even though it happened many times right. before, but it's not assumed that that has to happen. Yurches. Shnaim sheshalu chaluk echad. What if two guys borrow one garment? One guy borrows it so he can use it in the daytime. And one guy borrows it so he can use it at night. So they make a deal. I'm going to come and use it tonight, first night of Yontif. That guy's going to take it the first day of Yontif. So now the question is, where can this garment go? So so this utensil is like the feet of both borrowers. And he only can go in a place where both of them can go, as described in Halacha Yud Tes. Kate said, let's have an example. Now you can just think a little bit, or maybe draw a little picture. This is why I'm surprised the English didn't have a picture. This would be a classic place for a picture, and there's no picture. So let's see. Let's say the first guy who borrows, his Erev is from Berichuk at a distance, Elef Amma Mimaka Machaluk L'Mizrach. Let's say it's 1,000 amas away from the owner of the shirt going east. So the other guy is 1,000 amas away. So he can certainly go 1,000 amas to the shirt, right? One way. And he can go 1,000 amas the other way, away from the shirt, right? And the Erev Hasheni, the second guy's Erev, is Bariku Chamesh Ameos Amma Mimaka Machulamarov. He has an Erev 500 amas to the west of the shirt. In other words, you got the shirt in the middle.
Yeah.
Borrower number one is 1,000 amas to the east. Borrower number two is 500 amas to the west. Now the question is, how far can borrower number one take it? How far can borrower number two may take it? And therefore, how far can they both take it? That becomes the issue. So now, so kishalokeach harishon echaluk, when the first guy takes the shirt, who has made his erev 1,000 amas to the east, einam olicha lemizrach, how far can he take it west from the point of the shirt?
1,000 east.
How far east can he take it? Remember, the other guy's erev is 500 amas west, and you're only getting 2,000 amas. So what can you take it? You can only take it in a malichal amizrach. You can only take it east. El ad elef amah v'chamesh meyos amah. 1,500 amas mimakam achalok from the shirt. Why? Shusof hatchum shechol zesh erev b'marav achalok. That's the end on the guy on the west side who's 500 amas.
Yeah.
So he's got 500. How far can the guy on the west go?
Oh, he can only go 1,000.
He can go 1,500.
There's one guy at the 500 on the west, and there's a guy 1,000 on the east. So the guy on the east can only
take it 1,500 from the shirt.
Yeah, he can take 1,500, but the guy on the
even
other side
can
only take
1,000. If it wasn't for the other guy, he could have taken it 2,000.
Right, but the guy with 1,000 on the east, the west guy can only take it 1,000.
Right.
That's what I meant when I said 1,000. Maybe just go to the other room.
Right. So therefore, he's limited. He loses 500 amas right. because of the 500 that guy has.
Right. Right.
And the second, the reverse. Kushika Hasheni Klisa, when the second guy who's on the west, Einam Olicha B'mar, if he can only go a further west, Elad Elefam Kamkli, only 1,000 amas from where the shirt is. Why? That's the end of the tchum of the guy on the east side, who's already 1,000 amas away. He can only go 1,000 to the other way. So he's limited. Leviga, therefore, so what comes out? So the item can only go from the 500 mark. Well, each guy has a limited amount what he can go. Each guy goes a different amount. But look at this. Let's say the one guy makes his, he is 2,000 amas away from the shirt to the east. And this guy is 2,000 amas away from the west. How far can that shirt be moved? You can't move
that
it at
stays
all.
In its place.
Because it's exactly at the outer limit of both guys to begin with. Neither guy can put on the shirt and that's it. But you can't go anywhere with it because each one is stuck. That's how far they can go. So you've got the worst of both scenarios. That's what we go now going back to that shepherd that we started the class with. When you lend it to two shepherds, he's not going to want to lend it to two shepherds. And that's why if two shepherds have it, it doesn't go by either one of them, but by the original owner because he doesn't want them to have that type of achrayas responsibility over it. Okay, one more halacha to finish it off. Chaf. So we're covering lots of ground. Okay, let's say a lady, she goes to her neighbor, she borrows some water, she borrows some salt, which are relatively negligible items. The And now she needs her dough. So the flour belongs to lady number one. She borrows water and salt from lady number two. So now this chal has a mixture of lady number one's flour and lady number two's water and salt. Oh, bishop and tafshel, she bakes, she cooks an item. Same idea. Harei ha'iso ha'tafshel karagli shneim. The dough or the food is like the feet of both of them. And now we're just like the two shepherds again. We're limited in range to where the two ladies can go. Now, what's the chiddush over here? The chiddush is, but it's already been mixed, all right? And it's a very little bit compared to the flour. Still, we don't allow that to make any difference. And even if it's, now you'd say, well, let it be bottle barov. Let's say it's a majority. You know, we have a rule. We have rules of bittel. It's nullified. So what's the water and the salt compared to those? Surely it's less than 60. So we usually have a rule that it should be bottle. But why do we not let it be bottle? What's the other rule that doesn't allow us? It's called davar sheyesh lo matirim. Something that can be permitted 100% after yontif.
Right.
After yontif, you can carry whatever you want. So we don't say things are nullified if they can be completely allowed without having to nullify them after yontif. So therefore, we don't allow that to nullify it. And it's stuck to this, to the distances between the two.
Rabbi, I would have thought because the component parts have lost their identity, you can't.
So that's what he's saying.
And
therefore, what? Who's the owner of it?
Well,
they're both owners. It's like a partnership. It's like a partnership because before Yontif, they owned them separately. So it's a partnership. So you stuck to that partnership.
I just thought the borrower just like to return those items, but it's not part of the composition of the dough, but they have to return it from their own stock sometime later.
Fine, but right now, remember, before Yontif, this was before Yontif, she didn't borrow it before, she borrowed it on Yontif. So on Yontif, the water belonged to this lady and the dough belonged to that lady. Now that it's mixed up, it still technically belonged, in the beginning of the Yontif, it belonged to both of them, and that water can only go to a certain place, that dough, flour can go to a certain place. You're right, maybe now the one lady owns them both, but when Shabbos Yontif started, they didn't. Right. And at that point, the water was bound to the place where it started, and to the rest of Yontif, and so was the dough, and so was the flour. Similarly, v'chein shnayim shlachu behem v'shutfas, two people buy an animal in a partnership, on Yontif, v'shachav Yontif, and they shechted on Yontif. Av v'shalaka kolech manasa, and everybody took his own portion, and ready to go. You have the inconveniences of the both directions as well. Right? Because, and he'll explain. What if they buy a barrel of wine in a partnership?
Yes.
Then divide on Yontif. Then each portion is like the other guy, and they can go in different directions. I can take my half barrel and go where I want to go. So now what's supposed to be in the barrel and the animal? That's going to be the question. Now, why? Since tchumim is only rabbinic in nature, so now yesh breyer, you have a way to divide it up. Bahem v'nachshav, considering it, kilu chelik shigil lezeh, the guy who gets his portion of the liquid, hayaborlo mumto b'chavis erev yontif, it's like it was separated and divided on erev yontif. Ukiilu hayamor, as it was a mixed. Now, even though it was mixed, but since it's rabbinic, we're more lenient because at the end of the day, it's separate liquids there. But so why don't we say the same thing on an animal? No. You can't say this with an animal. Why? Because this guy, he has this specific portion. Let's say, even by Erev Yontif, he has this half of the cow. Even when I say by Erev Yontif, he has this half of the cow, but it's still a difference. Why? And you want to say it's totally separate from Yontif, but it nurtures. The one half nurtures from the portion of the other guy. An animal was intact. One part of the animal nurtured from the other. So even though I say I own this half, the right half, and you own the left half, but the blood and everything is going circulating between them, so there is a connection that you can't deny. And therefore, so each body part is considered totally mingled with the other one. Therefore, it's like the two of them. On the other hand, wine, it doesn't matter. One part of the wine is had nothing with the other part of the wine. It doesn't take away from it. So therefore, you have to be careful with partnership buying that if it's something that is totally connected, it's going to be limited in direction that the two of them can go into. And that is a wrap.